Peace to all of you. Last week, when we talked about the book of Acts, we talked about how the Holy Spirit descended at Pentecost. So there are three phenomena. So there's a wind, there's fire, then there's the tongues. We are always very easily attracted by phenomena. So when we look at this account, we will want to pursue such of this phenomenon. So the Pentecost, the key emphasis is that the Holy Spirit filled them, and so they do great things after that. Of course, these signs are of course real. We are talking about signs. So when they are filled with the Holy Spirit, it's a sign. So those who have seen it will be amazed. But what we need to know and continue to pursue is, so there's a great work in the Spirit. The great thing that God has done in the Spirit, in His precise moment, in a specific time, and a specific group of people, He has filled the apostles. And the apostles rise up and then continue to preach the gospel. And the Holy Spirit that works in the hearts of people, and people, when they hear the word, they are born again, they repent. So when we look at the whole book of Acts, when we look at the beginning, so they are looking at the signs about, you know, there's a wind, there's people speaking in tongues, and then there are those who are healed. So we are the outcome of us being attracted by all these things is that we start to pursue this. So the greatest thing that Holy Spirit has done is what He has done in the Spirit. This is something we need to know and continue to pursue the work of the Holy Spirit in our spirit. So we go to chapter 2. Give you a few. The feeling of the Holy Spirit of the apostle. Why did God fill them? When we see them, they are glorious, and we also want to be filled by the Holy Spirit as well. In the 3.5 years with Jesus, they have already absorbed Jesus' teaching. And in their hearts, they already have the Word of God. They have also witnessed the death and resurrection of Jesus. In such a background, in the time that God has appointed, the Holy Spirit filled them. If you do not clearly understand the teaching, the Word of God, and then you say you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit when you go to the church, and then speak tongues, you think that this is the filling of the Holy Spirit. This is impossible. You must. This group of people who are filled by the Holy Spirit, how their life has already prepared the work in them, and how they have already accepted the teachings of God, of Jesus, and they have seen the death and resurrection. And for 40 days, Jesus talked to them about the kingdom of heaven. So this is what you need to know. So every time we talk about so don't see all this as how do you be.
Mm-hmm.
Is it, how do you, if you don't have the knowledge of God, how do you know you're filled with the Holy Spirit? Do you just feel warm and then you feel warm inside and you start to, if he has no word, because he's the Spirit of truth, when he's filled and he opens up your mind so that so you know his truth and be attracted by the word. When you equip one day when the time has come, he will fill you. When we talk about the filling of the Holy Spirit, we must know what the Bible says about filling of the Holy Spirit. There are two types. So there is the revival of the disciples who were filled with the Holy Spirit during Pentecost. It's not something common. In Ephesians 5, you must know the way of God. You must be filled with the Holy Spirit. Do not be drunk, but be filled with the Spirit. So it's talking about in the daily life, how it is to follow the Lord as you lead a life. So when they read Acts, they have no foundation, and then they look at the signs, the pursuit they want. It's a very spontaneous something that comes upon someone suddenly. So Pentecost, everybody just people are in tears and they repent. In when you're 10-20 years, how often do you see such a thing? I'm not saying there's none. There should be revival in the church. It cannot be every week. We must know. When I was in Kaohsiung, Taiwan, the pastor said, every time you come and teach us the truth, it gives us a revival. But every half a year you come in Kaohsiung, so there are lots of charismatics who have a lot of conferences. There's a lot of kingdom. Every week there's a revival movement. When you every half a year you come, then we suddenly realize every week they go, why do you take part in all these things? Your problem is because everyone is looking for revival. They send a lot of invites. So there's a lot of invites that is being sent out. Everyone is attending all this healing and deliverance, and that they did not read the Bible, they did not equip themselves in the Word. It becomes an opium of the Spirit. When you don't have the Word of God in your heart, you just rely on this spiritual opium. So you get very high. So suddenly everybody pray very loudly or the music is very high. But after that, what is it? What I'm saying is, you must first know where we... So when we have... I'm not saying it doesn't happen, but it happens once in a while. When during Acts, that moment is unique. So it's only at that moment Holy Spirit gave that sign. But after that, so after that, what happened is really is to be able to be filled with the Holy Spirit in their daily life. They cherish the Word in their heart, and they are not drunk with the Word. And then that is another kind of revival. So there's a rhythm in our faith living. Holy Spirit, feeling of the Holy Spirit is absolute. So it doesn't just happen to the apostle. Everybody has to be filled with the Holy Spirit. When we need to attend service, we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. When we go home, we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit as well. So if you're not filled with the Spirit, then we will hear, we will just be quarrel over meaningless things. Some after you talk, say you, after that, two will be, both of you say the wrong things because you're not filled with the Holy Spirit. So who was there? At the moment, it's all these godly Jews from other countries, from Egypt, from Arabia, so from Rome. God is a great director. After he resurrected, when he is talking about the mysteries of the heavenly kingdom, actually God has already prepared the work. There's no train, there's plane. They travel on horse and camels from such a... So some they may take a few months or weeks to come here. You must know. So God has already prepared for these godly people who will come to Jerusalem when they want to come before the Lord. And that is the moment they hear the gospel of the resurrected Lord. So their heart has prepared. They are prepared to go to the Pentecost. So at that moment, Holy Spirit will fill this apostle, preach the gospel, and then in these hearts of these godly people, the Holy Spirit work, and then the church is born. For 15 nations, after they have repented, some they stay in Jerusalem. So some went back to their homeland, and then they continue to share the gospel. What I'm trying to say is, the moment. Everyone is. We are waiting for the moment our family members turn to Christ. We are always. When we are equipped, every week, yes, you are being equipped by the Word of God. When you. It's not wasted. When the Spirit is fills the people, when the time pointed by God is ready, everything, all the waiting is worth it. We don't be anxious. Sometimes we are very anxious. When my family will come to the Lord, they will. My colleague, my friend, I really want to share the gospel with them, but because they do not thirst for the word. They have no problem. They do not need Jesus. We are always waiting. How do you wait? How do they receive the word of God after they have Jesus ascended? They come together and pray, and then they wait for the time. So the problem with church today. Where are the people? Where are the souls? Some mega church, they did this. All the cell groups, they all come. Ask every cell group member. Find. Call 20 people. So that's before this. Call them. Are you coming to church? You must save their soul. You must. So every time you call, you must call 20 times. You have to go at least once. You will surely come once, but such so unwilling, just they just come to church. Okay, there's such a program, and they use a lot of methods and programs, not just attract them here, and they want to keep them. And the co-workers are so busy, and what they're busy with is just busy. And then the gospel is, but such a method can keep people. But this is not the way God has. So when you cannot wait, you. In the outward signs, it looks as though, yeah, there's a lot of people. But what do people really want? It's not God. It's not the gospel. It's not God. Some people come to church for business. Some look at beautiful girls. They all want everything except Jesus. So when you do this, the organization who does this, they really do not understand the work of the Holy Spirit. When the time has not come, so you just come for gathering, just encourage one another, and shepherd each other. And when you continue to do, when you have this heart of unity, when you love one another, when the time comes, everyone's life is prepared and matured, and the time which God has appointed. One day, the family suddenly say, "I want to come to your church." So your friend or colleague something have problem, and when you ask him to come for gospel relief, because he has a problem. We are waiting. Nobody knows the time. So when God has not done, you want to do ahead of God. So you do everything is in vain. Those people who do not know the Bible, they will not know the work of the Holy Spirit. A lot of things that we do in the end stumble people. This is something we need to be careful about. So another thing I want to emphasize is the theme for today. Here the disciples spoke in other tongues. So I said last week, there's a wind, there's fire, and then there's tongues. When we continue reading, so after that, the wind and the fire disappeared, but the tongues remain. So we need to have the right explanation about tongues. And then the Pentecostal Assembly of God and Charismatic, they are always promoting tongues because they have equated speaking in tongues. When you feel, have you baptized Pentecostal? Have you been baptized by the Holy Spirit? So what's the difference between the baptism? You have not been baptized by the Holy Spirit. So he has such an experience. Have you have friends with from Pentecostal? So a very godly, charismatic. They are very good brother. Oh, you're very full of Bible knowledge. You really know how to teach the Word of God. You have a lot of love. But do you speak in tongues? They really have to ask this. I don't speak in tongues. It's not enough. Know the word of God. Continue if you share. If you love others, then if you don't speak in tongues, it's not enough. If you have friends like this, so I really want to. What is this? Why do they have to ask whether you speak in tongues? I realized their emphasis is that if you are not speaking in tongues, you are not spiritual enough. You have no power. You do not know the mystery of talking to God. What do you think? English service, there's a sister. After you are the only few in Singapore who speak the true gospel. One day, when I talk about these tongues, I feel a wrong understanding of the tongues. After that, she stopped coming. But this message has offended her. So if you don't speak in tongues, you are a Pharisee. You do not have the real power of the Holy Spirit. You are all Pharisees. So when she brought her child. The mother is very excited. They have gone to 20 church. But how would I ask the child? So how would you want me to pray for my mom? I just want my mom to be more normal. The prayer topic. I ask the child. The mom cannot tell. Always looking for healing and deliverance. So now, all this conspiracy. I'm not saying everyone is like that. I'm not saying that all the charismatic are the same. I cannot be generalized. They are very normal ones as well. So they lost their logic when they pursue if the spirituality you pursue is not practical or give you the strength to give you wisdom and love and with compassion. If you don't have all these things, so when people are with you, they will not know what you're talking about. This is something very tragic. After you read the Bible, you become like, how can someone who read the Bible become like this? I want to talk about the tongues. I need to tell what is this tongues we are talking about. Acts chapter 2, verse 4-13. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. It's about tongues. Now there were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When we see this, all nations, every nation, 15 nations, is a Mediterranean there's no one from the US. Why did the Bible say? So what is the Bible trying to emphasize? Where are it came from Adam? Of course. Okay, after the flood, then there's Noah. Noah has three: Shem, Ham, Japheth. If those who study the three sons, the descendants of these three sons, they are all in the 15 nations. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans?" How is it that each of us hears them in his own native language? Galilean in the is north of Israel. They are from the countryside. People don't really look up to them. When they speak Sandam syllable, so they know that sometimes when we go to China, then there's So Americans went. In many cultures, you know, you can. So there are certain accents in different for different from group. Why did they say praising in their native language? So they can speak in their native language, they are very amazed. Parthians, Medians, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya, near Syrian, near visitors from Rome. Both Jews and converts to Judaism, Christians and Arab, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. So, Libya and Egypt, they are the descendants of Ham. Romans are the descendants of Japheth are the Romans. So, all these people, they are God-fearing Jews. Some are convert to Judaism. Then they know the Jehovah of the Old Testament. So, 2 months, they also go to the Passover. Some of them may have persecuted Jesus. When this big group of people come, some of these, they went back home. After 50 days, there's another festival, they may come again. This is the background of these people. So, the Galileans, which everyone looked down on, they were amazed that they were speaking in their native language. Some very amazed. They ask one another, what does this mean? They are not just curious. If I'm suddenly speaking Japanese, people will be very perplexed, you know. The Japanese will be feeling, why is he speaking Japanese? Verse 13, some have made fun of them and said they have too much wine. Next week we will see Peter saying that this is definitely not the wine. This is new now, this is not 9 a.m., this is just 9 a.m. Verse 13, that means they did not understand the language. Maybe they are speaking the language of angels. It's not. The Bible didn't say this. They were using the native language. So the one coming from Rome may not know the language of those speaking Arabian. So they may hear it as gibberish, but it's not. They just didn't understand the language. So what is the eloquence, the tongues given by the Holy Spirit? Such that, first, it is not a result of disciples drinking wine. It's not saying because they lose their rationality out of control. Peter and spoke to them Aramaic. And Jesus is the Christ. The Holy Spirit did not make them lose control and then just speak anything they like. It's not a miracle of hearing. It's not a miracle of hearing. It's a miracle of language. It's not that when I speak, it's not you speak one language and then the hearers hear it in their own language. So these disciples who have not spoken this language and the Holy Spirit give them this tongue to them so they can speak. And then, so everyone hear these Galileans praising God in their native language. From Luke, they will speak in other tongues and spirit enabled them. Verse 4, it's not hearing it differently, but it's a miracle of the language. It's not incoherent words or the tongues of the angels. It's not like language that nobody can understand. Some people, Some people make fun of them. It sounds like that, and then they assume it's a language that's not in human terms. I already explained that. So what's important is, when we say this, they mostly think that it also included languages not on earth. So when people don't understand, some people did. Later I'll talk about that. Why is it not gibberish? It's not. It's all language in the world. So it's a spiritual natural power. Language that people can understand, and those they have to. This language, there's a content. The content has stirred the hearts of people, and then it's not just hearing them speak the native language and they feel very amazed. When this God-fearing Jews, when they are cut to the heart, the content of the message, it's not the medium, it's the message. When they praise, maybe they will have persecuted Jesus. Some people are shocked. Why he can speak my native language to praise God? It's just the language. It's not the medium. And then there's a content, and from the content, then there's supernatural power. It's not something we can imitate. Some people, this, so brothers and sisters, the question we need to ask now is, so in this chapter 2, the tongues, and then where else did the Bible talk about tongues? First Corinthians chapter 12 to 14, there's also mention about tongues. So Acts chapter 2, when it first appeared, and then First Corinthians 12 to 14, these two, is it the same? So what are the explanation of they think that the two tongues are different? First, it's spoken to different objects. In Acts, the tongues is to proclaim the greatness of. Is spoken to just First Corinthians. That kind of tongues is not, is talking to God. The object is different. The first different. The nature is different. The thing that the Acts 2 is a language understood by men, is their native language. First Corinthians talking about tongue that needs to be interpreted. It's a tongues of the angels. The object is different. the nature is different. And the purpose is different. Second X is a sign. It's a sign. To show that some they have received the Holy Spirit, the First Corinthians is for is for edification. So First Corinthians 14:4. So they want to edify, so that they have. So they have peace and their faith that will come upon them is to edify themselves. It's not to edify the church. So charismatic brothers and sisters have such application of this verse. We have some reservations. Why? Oh. Whether it's Acts or First Corinthians, when glossa, the Greek word glossa, there is it's an organ in my mouth, it's a tongue. Or it's a language in a person's mouth. It's language in a person's mouth. There's no two meanings. Either it means the tongue, physical tongue, or it's just a language you speak. It's not gibberish. It's a language. In First Corinthians, those who speak, it needs to be. You need to interpret. Hermeneo. It is to interpret another kind. It is not to interpret something that is an unknown language. It has to be related to language on earth. So there are some exegetes, some of them explain that actually the nature is the same. Okay. Stanley M. Horton, he is a theologian in the Assembly of God. It actually is the nature. It's the same nature. So charismatics that I approach. 1 Corinthians 13. If I speak the tongues of angels, but if I have no love. When they read this, it's a bit different. When they read, they are very excited. The language or the tongues of angels. So Paul is saying, even if I can, if I can say, is also, or there's no such language of the angels. You keep saying, you say you have the gift of tongues. If I can speak all kinds of tongues, but if there's no love, if you don't emphasize on the Bible. So they thought that Paul is talking about such a language. I don't think the I don't think there's no such thing. All the tongues, some, it must be a language of some nation, tribe or some nation. Some, it must be a language spoken by some tongue, some tribe. A people, a language that is used by people. So he wants to use this language to spread the gospel. I'm very clear. There's many. Some are spoken to God, some are spoken to others. But it's definitely a... I've already given my... I don't accept those are imitated or some gibberish. Aesthetic speech. Some... The teaching. Speak, they are taught how to. It becomes a culture in the church. And when I say all this, so a lot of people will be very uncomfortable when here, because when they grow up in church, they think, this. Have you seen anyone cast out demons with tongues? You can edify. You can't even. You need some to interpret. You can't even edify others. In all the gifts, the smaller gifts, but is it make the church. It's not such a thing. Actually, it's the smallest gifts, but the church has overemphasized it. So why do they have a different understanding of tongues from other denominations? So, where's the difference? Charismatic. They use 1 Corinthians 12 to 14 to explain Acts chapter 2. Traditional, they use Acts to explain 1 Corinthians. The signs. It's just a different. It's just a, but ask all of you, which one should we use to explain the other? One of the critical things is when you're not sure about one topic, when tongues first appear, and Luke says, and it says there's other native language. You need to ask to explain 1 Corinthians. The emphasis is really wrong. Brothers and sisters, then why do they use 1 Corinthians to explain Acts? The whole charismatic movement is a gift-centered movement, and they are always concerned about the so miracles, laying of hands, prayer, slain in the spirit, because they are all focused on the signs brought about by gifts. Because of that, when they explain the word of God, they are not very careful. They use the latter to explain the former. When we talk about 1 Corinthians 12 to 14, the tongues of angels, they can speak to God directly. From here, they invent a lot of other principles. Satan wouldn't know what you're speaking. When Satan cannot hear you, he cannot disturb your prayer. If you use English or Chinese, if you use is the pastor teach you? They cannot disturb you because Satan don't. So sometimes I pray, I get very, I kept getting distracted because I use this language Satan can only say, only so you think that speak in tongues only when you believe this. Every time I'm communicating with God and I'm very, I feel very, God is, I feel my God is hearing my prayer. It's just his belief. Did Satan say he doesn't understand the tongues? He's not It's not that. There is some strange thinking, inventing all this. Bible has not talked about this. When you put the later things as the former, and then you need to use more. So this is a gift-centered movement. When they need to explain more with more principles, they have to. So when they are looking at external signs, and they are not. The born, the regeneration in their life, they hardly talk about the regeneration or the regeneration. So they only sense the holy presence of the Holy Spirit when they can see signs, because their emphasis is different. I ask everyone to be cautious. God has not given us this gift. If you don't need to speak, I heard my conscience tell me when I read the Bible, is it they think that they are commentating. I'm just. It's very strange. It's very different. It doesn't fit with what I believe. I'm justified by faith. Why do I have to learn a strange language to be filled with the Holy Spirit? No matter what kind of church you come, if you have not study about tongues. Sometimes, even if you can't pray, you don't need to speak in tongues. You just read the word and then cast your burdens to the Lord. If you read the Bible, and the Lord is my shepherd. Continue to read the promises of God and pray, and then you obey and submit. In this, actually, you feel something about the Word of God. Why? Because you are always relying on the external signs, something that you can sense, some language. When you speak some strange language, you can you can, the God is in His Word. When you believe, the Holy Spirit will fill you and comfort you. This is our faith. So, the Pentecost, some theologians are very insightful. It turned the curse into blessing. What is the curse? Is the Tower of Babel. When they have one language, they become proud. You want to build a tower. God make them have different languages, so they are not. So you cannot, they cannot understand. When they have different language, they will go different ways, because it's all their sin. If they just want to have the same, they just want to seek their own glory. So once your language is different, all your belief is scattered. This is the curse of languages. How do you know? So when I go to Japan, I cannot try to tell them the gospel. I always tell my children, you just learn English and Mandarin, you can speak to 80% of the people. Pentecost, the miracle that God has enabled us to see. All nations, the tongues, and is given to, and they can then preach the word of God using their native language, has reversed the curse of Babel. And from then on, you must speak new tongues. It's not that I can speak Japanese when I go to Japan, because when the content of the gospel, when we are stirred, when we spread the gospel to ends of the earth, we use the Bible to translate to all kinds of languages. Some Bible scholars say, on the Tower of Babel, the pride of men rise up to heaven on the humility of God, the compassion of God descended onto people from heaven. So no matter what language you can speak, Hokkien, talk Cantonese, brothers and sisters, use your tongue, use your native language from here. You will know who God wants you to share the gospel. So even they need your tongue. Sometimes I want to tell. So sometimes I speak Hokkien. Some people can speak very, very fluent Hokkien. I give thanks to God for them. And you get this vision. No, it's not the gibberish you speak, but whatever language you have, and then you testify the greatness of the Lord. Father, we give you thanks. You give us the word to minister to us. And then you help us to understand what is the tongues that Holy Spirit has given us. And the thing that you want to reveal to us in the book of Acts, and when you ask us to speak in new tongues, it's a new content of the gospel. So these things that we cannot speak before we are born again. Today we want to, and using the language that you have given us, we want to share your truth and share the gospel to the ends of the earth. And give us the vision, no matter what language you can speak now, but we use the language to testify for you. We give you thanks and we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.